How do we navigate discussion with fellow Christians when we disagree and seem to have scripture that supports both arguments? Let's talk about this today on Dive Deep. Welcome. We're glad you're joining us today on Dive Deep. And as we continue to face this new world with different sets of rules and social distancing, we're glad that we can always come together within Dive Deep and the Dive Deep community to spend time growing in our faith. And we hope to inspire you on your journey as a disciple, making other disciples. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Hey, Caleb. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you. So yesterday we looked at the idea of election. You kind of spelled out the difference between election and predestination and
a bit,
a little. And I really appreciate just kind of bringing in and introducing the concept of foreknowledge, God's foreknowledge.
Sure.
Talking about how we have to have free will in order for it to be meaningful, for our existence and our love for God to be meaningful, is kind of what I heard from you yesterday. But there was so much to that topic that really can't be contained within just one sermon.
Sure.
Obviously. But I'm curious, what has been your experience and understanding of both predestination or election growing up, and how has that changed or strengthened over time?
I'm glad you ask. Realistically, I basically grew up in a culture and environment of a really, a Wesleyan Arminian perspective?
Yeah.
And trying to understand that. The whole issue of predestination, foreknowledge, election, all of those concepts really... there's always been somewhat of a dispute going back and forth. And honestly, as I prepared for this message, it's been the hardest message I've prepared thus far.
Yeah.
I extra hours, like 3 extra hours later than I usually am to be able to have things finished, just because putting it together was challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I did all this study as I was preparing on Calvin and Jacob Arminius, mm-hmm. and John Wesley, and really trying to understand the differences between all of those.
Yeah.
And I hinted a little bit at it because a Calvinist perspective was realistically looking at all of this and predestination from a monarch's perspective, a ruling monarch, mm-hmm. and how they would be able to do that. And where Wesley was looking at as a loving parent and seeing the difference between that. And Wesley really saw that the whole issue of predestination and election was really in conflict with the character of God, mm-hmm. because his justice and his love and his the characteristics of who God is in all that sense would have been in conflict with the whole issue of predestination and election. Because realistically, if you look very straight on to election, it says certain people were predestined to be saved and certain people were predestined to be lost.
Right.
So it wouldn't matter what you did from the very beginning. If you were predestined to be lost, even if you lived a great life and professed Christ, you'd still be lost.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't really want to tackle that whole concept in my sermon, because what my thrust has always been is I preach what unites the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
not what divides.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that was going to be an incredible challenge to be able to do that. And so that's why I struggled so much over the whole message. And where Wesley and Whitfield being a Calvinist in his perspective, Wesley in a very Arminian perspective, they kind of went back and forth. Now, free will is really a Wesleyan Arminian perspective. It's not a Calvinist perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so... and if you look at it, they really don't logically line up to be under that predestined category. Because if you're predestined, you can't have a free will.
Right. And that's the part that I've always struggled with agreeing on as I'm having these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem to make sense when you, again, compare it to the character of God that we know in Scripture, that just we and know his desires for all to be saved.
And not willing for anyone to perish.
Yeah.
And whoever believes in him. And so they would say whoever in the elect believes. Mm-hmm. Well, like, it's already predestined. It's already planned, as if you have no choice. And that's why I went to the C.S. Lewis quotes, because I thought they were, like, just powerful.
They are. He paints such a vivid picture and in such a relatable way. Mm-hmm. I just so appreciate that.
Yeah, brilliant. Mm-hmm. And so when I looked at all that and I tried to kind of just track that, first I just wanted to say the plan of salvation is predestined. Mm-hmm. It was planned. And the fact that God chose us from before the world began, that was already predestined. So God's desire for each one of us to come to faith, has we've been on his mind from before the world began. So when I think about that, I'm like, wow, like overwhelmed with it. But then to say that I would not have any choice myself, I struggle with that.
Yeah. And I mean, if you eliminate free will from the equation, wouldn't that support the thought that then God is the initiator of evil also? Because if we're not the ones choosing to make it happen, then he has to be.
Yeah, and the C.S. Lewis quote, it kind of talks about that. And like, if we're going to believe that there's a free will, we have to believe that we all have choice, and we have choice for evil as well as choice for good. And, you know, what is all that apart? So I think that's all really very, very significant as we're trying to pull that together for understanding. And I guess the whole thing is, I heard a phrase, I'm not familiar with this phrase before, but I think it's certainly clinches it in that sense. It talked about open-handed beliefs versus closed-handed. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that we have to, in our belief system, we have to handle open-handed. Like, that means that I still believe in you, even if you don't agree with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in your faith, I believe in your walk, I believe in who you are, even though we are on different sides of this coin.
Right. And I think that's where a lot of people are struggling as they begin to understand this concept.
Yeah, that's open-handed. But closed-fisted are the things that doctrinally are not negotiable or not changeable. So, for example, the Trinity, what we believe in the Trinity, that's a closed-handed thing. We all believe in the Father, Son, Spirit, three in one. That is an important message. What we believe about the inerrancy of Scripture, you know, and believing that all of God's Word is inspired. Those are close-handed things we have to deal with. But open-handed, talking about those, are things that, okay, I don't agree with you on this. I don't share that same. I just can give you the example. Wesley was asked by a press, somebody from the press, which aren't they always still asking these questions? They said, do you believe that Whitfield would be in heaven? And Wesley's response, because they were on both either side of this coin about predestination and foreknowledge and all that, and free will. And he said, do you believe you'll see Whitfield in heaven? And Wesley said to him, I'm not sure that I will. And they went, oh, so you don't think that he'll be in heaven? And they said, no, that's not what I said. I think he'll be so close to the throne, I may barely get to see him. So his respect, even though he was totally on the opposite side of the coin, his respect for his faith and for his walk was so strong. I think that we need to treat one another that way.
Yeah.
We need to have that kind of love and respect for one another, even if we don't agree on all of the points of our doctrine.
Wow. What a great encouragement. And I think that's where we need to find ourselves is, like you said, how can we unify through this? And what I hear you saying is this topic is really an open fist type of topic.
It is. It is.
Yeah. And we can do so much more to build each other up than to really pick each other apart over the topic of
predestination. Especially with an open hand rather than a closed fist.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning, Pastor Arley. And thank you for investing your time today on CWC Dive Deep. Join us next Monday as we continue to discuss Look to the Future. If you missed past episodes, check those out at cwc.life, where you can catch up on our entire Core 52 series, access all the resources you need to dive deep, both in your personal study and with core groups, which we encourage you to be doing across digital platforms during this time. Have a great week.